CliffCentral.com.
All righty, up you getting, Adam. It is a Monday morning, and we are just after 7 o'clock. Me and Leanne Moll looking after you today. We've got a whole bunch of things to get to. We've also got a guest joining us in a short while who's a mentalist. I know how much you like mentalists, Ass.
I'm quite fascinated by them. I think my favorite of all is Darren Brown?
Darren Brown, yeah. You like him. Well, we've got our own Gilan Gork, yeah, who you've also met a couple of times on this show. I actually saw him. There was some interview that they did with him in a I don't know, some major publication recently, and I saw he's doing really well, which is terrific. I have a lot of time for Gilan. Good guy. So we're going to speak to a guy today called Larry Soffer, who is a leading mentalist here in Africa, widely and globally regarded as one of the best in mentalism. And he does acts of mind reading, metal bending, telekinesis. He shares all of his stories about how he achieves these things in managing to grow his entertainment business during the pandemic, which in itself is a work of mentalism, if you ask me. And I think we'll probably end up learning a couple of lessons ourselves. This is quite helpful just to improve your own mental skills, just to improve your own ability to think, to read other people, to pay attention, to focus. And a lot of that focus and paying attention is stuff that comes up in a conversation I had with a brilliant author called Johan Hari just a while ago. And if you didn't hear that interview, we will put it up on cliffcentral.com. It's already up, I think. And you can go and take a listen to that. Really interesting guy. And it should be up tomorrow, if not already. It's World Cup time again this year, says Tracy. Can we do another World Cup prediction? Gilan was spot on with the Brazil World Cup, to the minute spot on. Do you remember that? That just proves, again, that it's not magic. I mean, there's certain skills that you can learn. And perhaps we'll ask Larry if he's prepared to make a prediction, too, about the World Cup. We'll see whether he can get into that, because, of course, it's happening in Qatar this year, but it's happening much closer to the end of the year because it's too hot there for them to do it in the middle of the year. We would have been finished with the World Cup by now. Any other country. What's going on what's going on in your life, Ass? What are the things that you wanted to talk about this morning before we get to the mentalist? I know you had a whole bunch of things.
Without being morbid, in fact, let me start it the other way around. We've heard of birth doulas, right?
Yes. So that's a person who's there to aid and assist with the birth. Sometimes they have some special skill set. Sometimes they're just supportive. A doula is someone who traditionally would help the woman giving birth, right?
Yes. Now, you actually get something called an end-of-life or EOL doula.
Oh, really?
And that's obviously at the opposite end of the life cycle. They provide non-clinical care, so emotional, logistical, and physical help, with planning, engaging with life reviews, legacy work, etc., to help friends and family and obviously the person themselves going through this thing. And the reason why I was thinking about these end-of-life things is because I watched one of these artsy films over the weekend. And I just – it doesn't even matter really how they were all going to die. It was one of these metaphysical – things. It was like a what are those things called? Asteroids that was going to hit the Earth.
Okay.
It's called How It Ends. And it's basically just starts on the last day and she's walking around LA and no one's panicking. Everyone is just completely chilled. They're, if they feel like playing guitar, they're in the street playing guitar. If they feel like most of them in the movie just want to get high. It's an unbelievable amount of drugs doing the rounds.
Well, what would you do? Did you think about what you might do if the whole world was going to end tomorrow? I think I might be taking all the drugs too. May as well go
out. But I do remember you saying, was it you who said, what a fantastic way to go, knowing that you're all going at the same time and you watch this asteroid approaching the Earth?
Sure, I wouldn't panic. I mean, like you always see in these movies where the world's going to end, you see people like rushing down the street, like fire burning everywhere, people screaming, and like you're not going to get away. So take a big deep breath, calm the hell down, get ready to watch an amazing show, and you're all going at the same time. So, I mean, what a join hands, sing kumbaya, for God's sake. Get on with the enjoy the experience. You're going to live through something no other humans have been able to live through. Welcome to our dinosaur moment.
And that's exactly what it's like. I mean, the most people do is make amends and, you know, knock on people's doors who they wanted to say sorry to. There's no one's fighting for food or panic buying or, you know, stealing. And because what are you going to do with that stuff?
Well, I mean, there are going to be people who do that kind of thing anyway, because they're very low level people. They're just very basic creatures that are driven by instinct and the need to hoard, the need to gather, the need to steal. And I mean, there are going to be people like that. So there's going to be parts of the world where it's going to be a complete disaster. And there are going to be parts of the world where hopefully people behave a little more civilly. Not because they're trying to impress other people. At that point, all of that should have gone away. It should just be because you want to say goodbye to yourself, the world, the other people that you care about, more than you want to steal jewelry. You know?
Yeah.
You would think.
Oh, I'm going to rob a bank.
Right. Yeah. Anyway.
So that's what these end-of-life doulas do. They put you in this kind of state of calm.
Okay.
But they also, they're quite good at kind of changing your perspective a bit. So, for instance, if you're an amateur musician, you might know already who you want to leave your instruments to. However, what these end-of-life doulas will do, will say, right, let's work together on a song that you can put together and leave that kind of legacy for people to, you know, pass down as they remember you.
Okay.
So it's just about changing your mind perspective, which I thought was, hell, I mean, if I knew that my time was coming, it's certainly something I would consider.
Yeah.
To just kind of get your mind right.
It's almost like an end of life Dr. Hanan, right? This is the someone who comes into your life, gives you all. Yeah, I think that would be quite cool. I mean, why not? That could be a real job opening for some people, I think. But it is interesting to think about those, you know, those kinds of questions that are suddenly important to people who, I don't know that so many of us think about these things on a daily basis, and probably it's not healthy to think about it too much. But it would be useful, and it would be interesting to consider the options now for people who are getting older. You know, we live in a world where we've never had so much. We've never been so connected. We've never been able to access the kind of information to share things like we have recently. I mean, very recent human history would show that we're probably, and I've always said that we're better off now than we've ever been in history. I think that's true.
Mm.
But in some parts of the world, all people have that's still undiscovered is the prospect of death, because everything else you could pretty much buy an experience on planet Earth right now, particularly if you have just tons and tons of money. So why not make the last stages of your life a more interesting thing? I mean, this is kind of what hospices do all over the world, and they really are. I always have such unbelievable respect and admiration for people who work in a hospice. You think about the fact that someone's checking in there and they're not going to check out. You know, it's they're there for the last few steps. And obviously a place like that is there to make that person's life a little more bearable, a little less painful, a little less awful and final and sad, and try to make them a bit happier in those in those last few moments, certainly to avoid as much suffering as possible. You know, I was reading just the other day, someone sent me a screen grab of Jeremy Mansfield, who's just checked into a hospice. He's on his way out. I saw him very briefly at John Birx's funeral, and you know, he really is a shadow of the man he used to be, and it was very, very arresting and sad, and at the same time kind of, it was jarring for me to think, you know, this is Jeremy, who I think a lot of people grew up listening to on the radio. It's just a person who I actively competed against in radio in those days. I was doing the 702 morning show. He was doing 947s. He had this incredible audience, this brilliant show, this amazing, you know, this amazing like following, and here's this guy, and he's now, you know, in the final stages, stage four of cancer. And it just made me, it suddenly rattles you. It kind of gets you thinking, well, you know, that's going to be other people that you know, and maybe even you one day. And it just, again, strikes me that everything, and again, I don't want to be morbid first thing on a Monday morning, but these kinds of things make they shake you. They make you realize, like, make use of every minute you've got. And say what you want to say, and tell the people that you love that you love them. And, you know, you don't have to wait for the asteroid to come through these movies and wait for the asteroid to come and wipe us out for you to live a meaningful life, to say the things that you mean, to do the things you really want to do, make a difference in someone else's life. That kind of shit, that you don't need urgency. You don't need to be given that final prescription. Rather just start doing it now. I mean, if you want to be completely stoic about things, we're all pretty much dying. We're just dying at different rates. So from the moment you're born, you're already on the process of, like, you're eventually going to call it a day. No one lives forever. Mm-hmm. So live each day with meaning. For God's sake, wake up today and do something that you really want to do. Say something that you've been meaning to say for a long time. Especially if it's something nice. I mean, you can go around saying horrible things too. But if you can say something nice, do it. Call that person you've been feuding with in the family for years and just sort it out. Put it away. You know, figure out what a stupid implement Leanne has in her kitchen. This is the kind of shit that makes people's lives worthwhile. I'm telling you. And at the same time, if you can do all of that and you can be comfortable in your last days with a death doula, why the hell not? I reckon hospice should maybe change their name to death doula. I don't know if it'll be a good or a bad thing, but something to think about.
Well, I mean, the other thing that they do at a place like hospice is provide counseling for the family, which is just so important. There's actually a woman I follow who does, she's in this line of work. I follow her on social media. And these people have, you'd think that they have really horrible jobs, but they're so insightful.
Oh, yeah. You know,
they couldn't be more prepared than anyone else for what it feels like at the end. They've seen it over and over, and it's so true what they say is about, you know, you will regret things you didn't do rather than the things that you did. And she emphasizes that a lot.
Righty. Rebellious Ruth says, didn't Nightbird say that you don't have to wait till you're happy to live your best life? That's exactly right. That's exactly right. She was that singer who was, I think, on one of these talent shows, and she said that. And I thought it was such a great line. I think she also had cancer. She was either in remission or she wasn't getting better. I can't remember what the story was. But hey, you know, we got to figure out our own way of making a difference. And if you can do that today, that's what you should do. It's also important to key those who are a puss. I think you mean to let those who are a puss know that they're a puss. Life is short, man. Yeah, you could. You could do that too. I watched this video yesterday, and we're going to get to Larry in a second. I watched this video someone sent me on, I think it was on Instagram, of this chick just losing her shit. I actually put it on my Instagram. In a Starbucks, and she's shouting at the woman behind the counter, but shouting at her. And she's horrible. She's just
horrible. Karen's gone wild.
Yes. Did you see it?
No, it's that's just like a trend. Some film people who are Karens who've gone, gone wild.
This woman definitely fits that description. She is awful, and she's shouting at someone behind the counter and just behaving really badly. And everyone else in the store is like, really, lady? And she's like, I just want to tell you. And she's like standing up, and then she eventually goes, and she like beats the counter with her hands. I just thought, what a what a child. But really what that person needs isn't to be told anything. She just needs to be smashed very fast into the wall with hammers. I mean, there's no other way to
deal
with that.
You just need to show them – you need to – show them a video of themselves and then zoom out slowly to eventually show the country they're in, to show the planet they're on, and then the universe, yes, and say to them, did that really matter?
Yes.
Where we are.
Was the coffee order, because it's hard to even figure out what she's moaning about. It's like she's just tantruming because she's desperate for someone to give her some attention or for her to feel like she's important in some way. And as you say, if you just zoom out, you go from that little coffee shop out into the town, out into the state, into the country, onto the planet, and you look down on that and you think, wow, I'm sure you're proud of yourself now. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes, Carl says, yes, that was a typo. I'm sorry. I'm not actually illiterate. Okay. Very, very good. All right. We should also implement more utensils into our lives. Absolutely right. From Stoned Philosopher. Okay. Well, let's bring something else into our lives, which I think will be handy for us this morning. It's always great to talk to someone who can do these things that Larry Soffer can do. He is a leading mentalist in Africa, widely and globally regarded as one of the best. He's good at mind reading, metal bending, telekinesis. He's going to tell us how he does all of that stuff, or at least help us to be better at doing some of this attention paying ourselves. He has used the pandemic as a time to kind of figure out what people really want to know. He's grown his own business during this time. He's helped people to figure stuff out that most people would think is magic, but it really isn't. And so let's get Larry on, and we'll talk to him about all of this and more. And he says it was his best year, by the way, 2020 financially. Now that things are heading back to a kind of normality, he shares some valuable insights and has some tips for all of us on how to help ourselves to thrive during difficult times. And of course, thanks to the economy not exactly looking great anywhere in the world, we should all be paying attention to any advice from anybody. And Larry's one of those people we want to pay attention to. Hey, Larry, how are you? I think, are you muted or is it on our side? Seems to be a bit of a delay here.
Okay, is that better?
There we go. We can hear you loud and clear now. How are you doing, man?
Great. Sorry about that.
No problem. Okay. Nice to see you.
I'm very well, and you? Thank you for having me.
No, what a pleasure. You too. So first of all, congratulations on having the best year when everybody else was down in the dumps and feeling sorry for themselves. What do you think it is that made some people thrive? And I'm not just talking about like rich billionaires all over the world who just moved their money from here to there or transferred an enormous amount of wealth, because we know that happened during the pandemic. But ordinary people in various places also managed to thrive during a time where most people were thinking, oh my God, how am I going to survive? What do you think it is? Is it a mindset?
I think exactly that. I think we are our own biggest barriers. If we can actually get over the barrier that's ourselves, that's our thoughts, telling us why something shouldn't be done or why it can't be done, we can actually then get into action and create the necessary things that we desire.
Okay, so you obviously, as a mentalist, you think about this stuff a lot more than the rest of us would. But tell me where you reckon that being a mentalist is helpful and where you can use some of the skills that you guys have. And we've spoken to a bunch of other mentalists over the years, and some people don't just do tricks like bending spoons and things. You can actually read minds, you can predict things. A lot of people would say it's magic. It's not magic, though, right? Yeah, it's not magic.
Well, I never say what I do is real. I never say it's not real either. I leave it up to you to decide. So I'll show you a few things throughout the show,
cool.
Just some things from my virtual show, just a little bit of a teaser, and you can decide for yourself. I believe that if you believe it's a trick, hopefully it's entertaining. But if you believe it's real, I believe that that means that you can create the impossible in your life. Believe that the impossible is possible.
All right. So let's just take a couple of tips here. The first thing you say is to stop, breathe, look, and then listen. You say it is easy to rely on the opinion of others when it comes to working out what is happening around you, but it's also important to look for yourself because people are lazy on that front. That's why you also, you know, you sometimes steal an opinion from someone else because they've done the hard work of actually reading a story, for example, knowing what's going on in a major issue around the world. You don't do the work yourself. So for many people, it's a bit of a shortcut. But in your own life, this is also, it can lead you to being a little bit mentally and emotionally lazy, right? So you've got to go back to basics.
Yeah, I mean, like if you can just observe your environment, and that's what the point is about, is that if you can actually observe what's going on around you, mm-hmm. you can then decide what actions need to be taken to solve the problems and the issues that you're facing. Like during the pandemic, I actually observed for myself, and I looked just before lockdown started. I knew that we weren't going to be in this for 3 weeks. I knew it was going to be a long haul.
Right.
Because, I think there's more at play than just Corona, you know? And so I looked at the situation and I knew that other things like this had happened before, like swine flu, SARS, et cetera. And I knew that if this had to hit South Africa so hard, where it normally hits the rest of the world and the rest of the world goes into a frenzy, if this had to happen in South Africa, I knew that we weren't going to be in this for 3 weeks. It was going to be much longer. I didn't know how long, but I knew it was going to be longer, and I knew I needed to do something about it. I couldn't just sit around and just wait it out.
So you also say that, I mean, there are a bunch of different things that you've said here. As an entrepreneur or a business owner, you'll face many barriers, but this should not be the end of your journey. Rather, a chance for you to get creative, think outside of the box. I mean, when I hear people use terms like think outside of the box, I get very nervous because you know in business, there are a lot of people who don't know a goddamn thing saying things like think outside of the box. And what does that even mean in a business?
Yes.
Like if you are a quantity surveyor, you don't want a quantity surveyor thinking outside of the box. They're there to measure a particular piece of land and to give you a kind of a general idea of what can and can't happen there. I don't want them thinking outside of the box. I don't want the quantity surveyor telling me, I imagine
or we somebody who does heart surgery.
Let's build an 18-floor skyscraper.
Or like a bus driver who decides to, like, take a shortcut over a pavement just to be different for the day.
Right.
Oh, that definitely happens.
So what do you mean by that? I mean, what are you talking when you talk to an entrepreneur or a business owner? And many of us are either willingly or unwillingly in that position because these days nobody just has one job, right? Nobody does just one thing.
Yeah, I think that especially during this time, and I think in many other times as well, you can use your barriers as solutions to the problem. So, for instance, like you can look at a barrier and you can see how can you solve that barrier? How can you solve it to create the desired effect? Like load shedding, for example. We were hitting level 3 lockdown and then load shedding was starting up again, right?
Right.
So I knew that I had to solve that situation before it started, because we got word that there was going to be load shedding before it actually started. And we decided that we needed to get a UPS. So we got a UPS, we got it installed in the home, and I was able to keep the studio running. So when I was doing international shows, they don't know what load shedding is. Maybe they do now, but they don't really know what load shedding is. And so they wouldn't understand why your show just cut out, you know? So they wouldn't want to pay for something like that. It wouldn't be a good service. So you got to look at the things that are happening around you and see how you can solve them and turn them around to your advantage, because a lot of people may not have had a UPS, and then you step ahead of the rest,
right?
For example,
so little practical things, and these are sometimes, you know, again, they're not things that you are, someone's going to give you a guide and say, here we go, this is how you make yourself less dependent on Eskom, or this is how you can sort out not being able to work during things like load shedding. You need to actually figure out some of this stuff yourself, because again, everybody has a separate set of circumstances they need to overcome, right?
Exactly. And everything is taken on a gradient. So obviously, wherever you are at in life, you've got to build yourself up from there. And nobody goes from zero to hero. If there is anybody that does really go from zero to hero, except for what we see on social media, and you can't really believe what you see on social media these days, it's very far and few in between.
Well, I mean, Carl says quite rightly, during the pandemic, prostitutes really had to think outside of the box so that they could keep making money.
Yeah, totally.
All right.
Quite literally.
Now, I mean, I've been beating this drum too. You also say that a lot of businesses, what do they do when things are going badly or they're unsure about what the future holds? They cut down on things like marketing and advertising. And I've been saying to people, especially since we've all been able to meet with people again in person, I've been saying, guys, you need to spend on advertising and marketing, because those things will grow you, and they'll grow you at a time where other people may be putting things on hold or pausing stuff. And if you're the only one who's advertising and marketing yourself out there, and you're going to the trouble of doing this, you will get far more attention than the rest of them, right?
Totally. I mean, this has happened with a few different radio stations during 2008, where I remember one particular radio station in Cape Town was promoting themselves like mad. And during 2008, they actually grew by I don't know how many percent, and the rest of the radio stations took a little bit of a dive.
Right.
And you just got to keep putting yourself out there. When people say, oh, I don't know what the future holds. Well, the future doesn't hold anything but what you create. So I believe that the best way to create the future, or the best way to predict the future at least, is to create it. So what you do today creates your tomorrow. There's nothing that the future holds than what you're doing right now or what you're not doing right now. So if you're not doing things that you should be doing, there's going to be certain end results. If you are doing the right things, you are going to create the future that you desire, as long as you don't give up. I mean, there's always going to be failure along the way, you know, but even failure is not failure.
Okay, so now let's talk to you as a mentalist, because this is where people start thinking that what you do is magic or whatever. I mean, how does it work that you read minds? And I mean, give us some very particular kind of tips on what you can look for and how you can interpret. Because I said the other day on the show, and it got a huge reaction from people, if you listen to people's actual words, and you the words that they choose to use and the way that they say things is an insight into people's souls and into their brains, and their things that they reveal about themselves by speaking. Obviously, you're going to tell us that a lot of it is also body language and probably many other things that I don't know. People are revealing themselves the whole time, and all you have to do is pay attention, right?
Exactly. If you just look and listen, you can see who you're dealing with. Obviously, you have to be very aware of what you're looking for. But those tells are there, like you say, Gareth. So, yeah, if you just look and listen,
so give
you
us
can
some...
know who you're dealing with. You can know who's going to be a good friend, who's going to be a good business partner. I play a little game of influence with you, if you like.
Go for it. Let's do it. I love these. Let's go.
Okay, great. So I've actually got a pack of playing cards over here. In this pack of playing cards, there's one card that's upside down. So this is not a card trick. This is an influence effect. And I'll put this a little bit more into the screen so you can see this here.
Okay.
And Gareth, we're going to try and get you to, I'm going to try and get you to think of a particular playing card, that particular playing card that's upside down in that pack over there.
Okay, gotcha.
So first of all, you have to think of the color. So is it going to be a red card or a black card?
A black card.
So don't say it outside. Oh, just okay. Think it in your mind.
Got you. Okay.
If you want to change back and forth, change back and forth, and you let me know when you're happy.
Okay, got one. I know what it is.
Okay, cool. Gareth, I get the sense that you've gone for the wrong color. Can you just change to the opposite color and then tell us what that color is?
The opposite of the color that, hang on, just, I'm not sure I understand.
That you ended up choosing.
Okay. So I must tell you what I chose.
A color in your mind right now, go to the opposite.
Okay. Then so I can tell you what this is, the opposite color.
Yes. And you can say it out loud.
All right.
Yes.
It would be red.
Red. Okay. So you finally went for black and I was able to read your mind and coax you into changing to red, right?
Well, yeah. I was stubborn and wanted to stay on black because I knew that this was a game where you were going to try and trick me. So now we change to red. Okay, cool. Okay.
So perfect. So now in the red cards, you've got hearts and you've got diamonds.
Okay.
All right. Whichever you choose, that's the one we'll use.
Mm-hmm.
But bear in mind that most people in your position would go for the heart.
Okay.
But maybe I'm only telling you that to try and influence you to change to the diamond. Or Gareth, maybe I'm giving you this whole scenario to get you to stay with the heart and try and trick me, yeah? So you decide, which one are you going to go for?
I'm going to go for diamonds.
Diamonds. So imagine that all the diamonds are spread out across the table.
Mm-hmm.
You see number cards, you see picture cards, whichever you choose, we'll use. So obviously there's the three picture cards, the jack, the queen, and the king.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the number cards, which range from ace through to 10. So you let me know, which one are you going to choose, numbers or pictures?
Numbers.
Numbers. So imagine that I'm pushing out one number card.
Mm-hmm.
One number card stands out in your mind right now.
Okay.
Let us know. What is that number card?
Five.
Five. So you say five of diamonds, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not hearts, but diamonds. Yeah.
Five of diamonds. Let's go.
This 5 of diamonds. So this pack has been sitting here the entire time in full view with a sticky dot. Let me pull it into full view here.
Right.
And that sticky dot says number 20. That's because one card was placed upside down at position number 20 before we even got started.
Go.
This is so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Check this out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. This is number 19, Gareth.
Right.
The next one down is number 20. You could have chosen any color, any suit, any number, but you chose the?
5 of diamonds.
Let's 1920.
Oh, no. Look at that. That's awesome. I love it. I love this game.
So now, how does this work?
How does this work?
Thanks, Gareth. Well, Gareth, the really crazy thing is that some people that's listening online here today, they think that somehow by sleight of hand, by trickery, I turn that card upside down and place it in exactly position number 20.
Yeah.
But I don't want them to get the wrong idea here, Gareth, because I really did influence you to think of the five of diamonds at least. And to prove that, I made the five of diamonds the only blue back card. Wow.
Okay, so hang on a second.
And not only that, Gareth, but wait a minute. Not only that, there's more. There's more. Not only that, I was so confident in my ability to influence you to think of the five of diamonds that I didn't even bother to bring the other cards.
All right, so hang on a sec, because I know for a fact that I changed my mind, or I thought I was changing my mind. It seems you might have been changing my mind at least twice in there. I moved, I swapped cards in my head. I chose a random, what I thought was a random number. How does this work? Come on, give us the real behind the scenes story here. What happens, Larry?
It's a little bit difficult to explain because there's a lot of years of practice and understanding behind it. But it's a lot of influence, understanding people, reading body language, being able to control your thoughts in a certain direction. And there's also intuition involved as well.
Well, I hate that I'm being manipulated. This is what irritates me. I know you love it, Leanne.
Are you married, Gareth?
No.
Are you married?
No. That's one of the reasons I hate being manipulated.
That's why you're not used to it. Mm-hmm. No, I'm just kidding.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. Listen, I need to move beyond all of that, though. What I think is interesting here, and this will be interesting to anyone who's listening as well, is that we all think we act independently, that we are able to make completely inert decisions, that we can change our minds at any given moment. Someone like me, I think I value freedom more than anything else. So I like to think that I'm free to make decisions all the time. And then someone like you comes along who I don't know. I mean, we don't know each other well at all. And you're able to manipulate my choice of card. Just imagine if it was something more than a card and you applied all of the powers that you used to get me to choose the five of diamonds, which I thought was my decision. You could use this for ill. I mean, imagine the things that you could influence people to do, either for good or for bad, that would really be life-changing. And this proves that there are so many things going on that we don't actually understand. Even when those of us who are completely rational, supposedly, those of us who are not what we think to be easily influenced, yet we can be easily influenced in plain sight by someone who doesn't know us very well to choose things that we think are, again, our free will. I mean, this blows my mind.
Yeah, totally. And that's the thing, is there is a part of life that is magical. There is a part of life that is mystical and that we don't really understand. And that part is what we decide in our minds. So what we decide in our minds or in ourselves becomes reality. And if we decide it enough and believe in it enough, that's what actually becomes reality, especially after taking the necessary actions to getting there. It's not all just a practical road trip, you know. We have to actually believe. And if we doubt ourselves, we're actually going against ourselves and creating other things that makes life difficult.
All right, do another one of these.
Gareth, that's exactly what Dr. Hanan said earlier.
Yeah.
Is you need to act it first, and mm-hmm. then it'll come.
Right.
The emotion will come with it.
All right, so do another one of these. Let's see what else you got in your pack of tricks.
Well, How about, so I prepared one other thing for you guys. Mm-hmm. How about if I actually get you to read my mind?
Okay. Be an interesting change of role. Okay.
Let's go. Yeah, exactly. So let's try this over here. Let me just get my little box here. Okay.
Thinking outside of the box, are you?
Exactly. Exactly. So in here, I've got a little box and a little piece of paper. And on that piece of paper is a friend of mine's name. I'm going to put this here in full view for you to see the entire time.
All right.
Okay. And let me just get that nicely into the shot.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. Right. And I'm also going to take my watch off and set my watch to an exact time.
Okay.
So what's inside that box is a friend of mine's name. And also this time is also from a memory. Both of them are from a memory of mine at a birthday. Mm-hmm. I was actually at a birthday party. I walked out onto the grass. It was my birthday party. And I went up to greet a particular friend. And that friend's name is inside that box over there.
Okay.
So let me just set this watch to exactly the right time. Perfect.
Okay.
So I'm going to leave this over here for you to see the entire time.
Okay.
And we were talking about time, this friend of mine and myself, and we were talking about how there is no moment but the present. You know, the future doesn't exist. It only exists in our imagination. Okay. The past is already gone. It exists in our memories only. And the only moment that really exists is the present, and that's why we should take advantage of every moment of every day. And I'm sure you've heard other things like this in the past before.
I think we were talking about this just before you came on. We were talking about this very thing.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Yeah. So at that moment, when we were talking about this on the grass just a few years back, I actually looked down my watch. I saw it. I saw a particular time, and that's the time that I put on that watch over there. Mm-hmm. So do you guys believe that it's possible to read minds?
Again, I think that people are always giving clues as to what they really think and how they really feel about things. So, yes, I think there is a degree to which you can do this.
Okay, interesting. And I didn't get your name, Adam. What's your name?
Don't worry. Just call her S. It's fine. She responds to S or to Leanne. So Leanne, do you believe that people can read other people's minds?
I keep trying to convince myself with my scientific mind that they can't, but mm-hmm. I'm proven wrong every now and then.
Okay. Well, let's see if you can prove the situation wrong, because right now you're going to read my mind. I'm not going to read yours. So, Leanne, if you get this wrong, it's totally cool, okay? But, Leanne, if you get this right, this will be equally unbelievable. So, you ready for this?
Okay.
Oh, I'm nervous. Okay.
So, Leanne, I never ever told you, and I don't know if you listened to my speech, and I'm sure Gareth did because he's very good at listening to people and hearing what they say, especially with what he's talking about. I'm sure he really does it and understands people to a degree, especially being such a knowledgeable guy. He actually can understand people from different perspectives with all that he's read, right? So, Leanne, if you had to look at me right now, and we're going to let Gareth do the next part, but if you had to look at me right now and tell me if this person was a male or a female, what would you say? Just sit up straight in your chair and put both hands flat on your knees and just take a deep breath in. Perfect. And breathe out. Excellent. And look at me and tell me, is this person a male or a female? What do you get?
Male.
Male. Interesting. Okay. So you say it's a male, and maybe it's best that we leave all the screens open so you know that I'm not doing any trickery or anything like that. I'm leaving everything in full view like this the whole time.
Okay.
So, Leanne, if you had to look at me and tell me what this person's name is, what name would you say is inside that box?
Oh, boy.
So you say it's a male. You just got that coming.
Yeah. Came to me earlier before you even asked, and the name that came to me, must I say it?
You can say it.
Is John.
John. So are you sure about that, or do you want to change your mind?
Come on, Leanne.
I'm pretty sure.
This is your chance to prove that you are the Nostradamus of South Africa. Go on. John it is. That's what she says. Says John.
Okay, so you say John. So you say what's inside that box is John's name, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. I'm going to leave it there in full view until the end. Gareth, imagine that John and I were talking and we were talking about time. I looked down at my watch and I saw an exact hour and an exact minute. Gareth, you're going to tell me what that hour and that minute is. I want you to look at me and tell me right now.
9:25.
No, I know that was kind of flippant, so kind of just look at me again and just look at me again.
Got it wrong, did I?
And just try and focus and... just look at me. Don't try and guess it. Just look at me, and whatever comes to your mind, you let me know. If it's still 9:25, fine. No, but I want you to really feel it.
All right, I'm going to say 11:30.
Is that what you got right now when I looked at you?
11:30.
So you say what's on this watch is 11:30, right?
Right.
This is so crazy. I have no idea how you knew it was exactly.
No.
There we go. Look at that. Yes. Fantastic.
Oh, my word.
Love it. And you say it's John.
And what's even crazier is that Leanne somehow got that this was a male and somehow then got the name John coming into her mind. In fact, she got it even before I looked at her. She just got the sense about it. This box has been sitting here the entire time in full view. Let me, there we go. In full view, completely sealed.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Before the show even began, I wrote down this friend of mine's name. I wrote down exactly.
Bum,
no,
bum,
man,
bum.
Stop it.
That's amazing. Look at that.
My hands are...
So my crazy. Hands are... I have no idea how you guys knew that. 11:30 and John, you guys were amazing.
That's amazing.
No,
right,
that's
so
crazy.
Doc Ozzo says, that is weird. I got John too. So is that possible that he also got that?
Well, seeing that he got John too, it's not the same as John. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking.
All right. But Asha also says she also got John. I mean, this is pretty weird. Is that just because John is a really common name and there are a lot of guys called John? You know, I'm being cynical now. Isn't that skeptical kind of the right conclusion to jump to?
Like I say, it's very interesting that they also got John because they must have sensed it because this is obviously live and they got that sense, that sensory idea in their mind. But I leave it up to you to decide. Like I say, I never say it's a trick. I never say it's real either. I leave it up to you to decide. So if you believe it's a trick, hopefully it was entertaining. By the laughter, I'm guessing it was.
Definitely.
But if you believe it's real, yeah, thank you. And if you believe it's real, I believe that that means that you can create the impossible in your life because you believe that the impossible is possible.
Now, I mean, it's interesting.
Then in that case, I'm going to guess more money and next month.
Exactly. Well, you've got to be very specific, Leanne. You've got to be very specific. How much do you want to make and how are you going to make that target and just decide that it's going to happen and take the steps to getting there?
All right, so MM says, I'm pretty sure the mentalist would have not guessed the name Nomalanga. And then Carl says, but John is a very common name. Can you do it with a name like Stavros? So there we go.
Yeah, it can really be done with absolutely any name. I've done it with different situations of different memories of mine. But bear in mind, I didn't read your mind, you read mine, yes?
That's true.
And to be fair, some of the options were... that were guests were Eric, Julius, and Cyril. Yeah. So not all Johns.
I wonder why politicians' names always come up.
Interesting.
All right. So obviously a lot of people in the audience think that you're friends with politicians. That's not a good thing. That would be very bad for you. All right. So tell us.
Especially if I had those names.
No, exactly. So Larry, you do your stuff online now, which is tremendous. And I mean, you've just shown us, you've got this cool camera that shows the table in front of you where you can put the deck of cards or the box or the name in it or all the rest of it. So, I mean, these are things that obviously, you know, there are going to be people who are going to say you manipulate stuff, but you actually show on the camera what's going on. I mean, you moved your hands in the one picture and we could see that they were there. So it's a live thing. It's not some video that you recorded beforehand. Did it take you a long time to set all of this up? And how's it going in terms of actually getting people to watch these shows online? Because I'd imagine that for many people, like it was entertaining for us this morning, it would be really entertaining to do this stuff. Where can we find more?
Well, people can definitely book me for virtual shows and for corporate events. Mm-hmm. In fact, most of my virtual shows are corporate anyway. During the time of lockdown, there was a lot of virtual shows. We did over 160 shows in 2020, which was amazing. 2021, we haven't counted yet, but we did a lot of virtual shows. And right now, live shows are coming back. And so we're traveling. I'm traveling again. And when I say we, myself and my manager, but I travel around to different corporate events, private parties, right. And I perform all around the world for all kinds of different events. Even yesterday, I did an event for a 93rd birthday.
Wow.
So, all kinds of different. Yeah. And the night before was for an international event.
How did you get them to even remember the card they'd picked?
All right. So,
well, they weren't there. All 93, but the gentleman was pretty compass mentis.
So Vyasin says, I met Larry at a friend's birthday. Amazing guy. So he was obviously at the birthday with you and John.
Probably not my birthday, but probably somebody else's birthday. Nice. Yes. Yeah, so I do this for different kind of events, a lot of corporate year-end functions, gala dinners, that kind of thing. I MC, entertain, like yourself, Gareth. Hmm. In fact, Gareth, we met at an event many, many years ago. I don't know if you recall, but it was in Camp Spain.
Yeah, I do remember that.
And
You've been doing this a long time. How long does it take you to kind of do this mentalism stuff? Because some people might be going, oh, well, this is what I want to do. You talk about doing things that that you really want to do with your life and going into areas that you're really excited about. And we spoke to Dr. Hanan, the psychologist, earlier, and one of our listeners, Reyno, who's worried that his brother's chosen a career path that isn't great. What if someone wants to become a mentalist? How long does it take you to train?
Well, I've been doing this since I was 4 years old. And the way I found out that I had these abilities is my mom, she really irritated me one day. And I was this young kid, like 4 years old. And she really irritated me, and I wanted to hit her, but I didn't touch her. I just went like this. And the next thing, she flung up against the wall. She went up the wall, and her head's... No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking.
Wow, you had a strung along there. All right. Wow. This is good.
No,
I like this, though.
Just kidding. The real story is I got my first...
Just want to quickly throw this in before you finish your story. So Old Lady says, I was listening just now, and I got the name Johan, which is like an Afrikaans version of John. I got the time wrong. But is this because she wasn't paying attention, or is that like a glimpse of getting it half right?
I think it's more of a glimpse, and my attention was mostly directed to you guys, so it was amazing that even other listeners actually got the name John. Yeah,
that's tremendous.
Yeah.
All right. So sorry, I interrupted you. Yeah. Where were you in the story?
Yeah. So the real story is that I actually got my first magic set from my grandparents at the age of four, and I learned sleight of hand, and I loved David Copperfield. I went to the College of Magic, which is in Cape Town, at the age of 13. And I learned a lot of sleight of hand, illusion, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I got more into mentalism as I got into my teenage years and as I left high school. Because I believe that mentalism really touched people in a special place in their heart, because they went, that's not sleight of hand. That's not trickery. That's something else. What is that? And if that's possible, what else is? And that's what I hope to inspire within people, is to really to believe to see instead of seeing to believe. And I'm sure you've read that in my article there, Gareth, because I people, you know, my purpose is to inspire people to believe to see instead of seeing to believe. And what I mean by that is that most people say, I'll see it before I believe it, especially with what I do, right?
Right.
They have to see something in order to believe in it. But if you're always having to see to believe, you're always experiencing other people's creations. But if you can actually believe to see, you can believe in your own ideas. You can then create those ideas like you've done on Cliff Central and with the Gareth Cliff Show, right? Mm-hmm. You believed in these ideas. You created them, and you became the master of your own destiny. And anybody can do this. And once again, it takes gradient steps, but you can make it happen.
Well, I mean, this is, again, Leanne, if this isn't just proof that what we were talking about before Larry came on, when we had Dr. Hanan on earlier this morning, in his advice to one of our listeners, was precisely the same thing. Right? I mean, it's you have to believe it first, and you have to act as if it's true, and then voila, it ends up being true. I mean, it sounds too good to be true, but that's actually how it works.
Exactly. If you look around at anything that's here in this world today, it's because somebody believed in it first.
Yeah, I think that's really powerful stuff. And I'm afraid we're going to have to end it there because we're out of time for this morning. But Larry, great to have you on. And thank you so much for being part of the show this morning. Oh, it's really, awesome. Really cool to have you on. And I know that
thank you for having me.
I know for some people, it's just entertainment to see these kinds of things. For some people, it's tremendously meaningful and all the rest of it. And as you say, take from it whatever you want. It doesn't matter. You're not here to interpret the world for everybody who's watching or listening. You're just giving them either a good show or showing them some insights into things that we can't always figure out in laboratory conditions, right?
That's exactly right, yes.
I love it.
Thank you for having me.
All right, very, very good. There's Larry Soffer. We'll put all your details up on the website too, Larry, so that people can get hold of you if they want to get you to, I don't know, to maybe put on a show virtually or in person for a company, a business, maybe a birthday, whatever it might be. Very, very cool stuff. Larry Soffer, everybody. And have an awesome day, Larry. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me once again. Have a great day.
Cheers, dude. Very good. That was cool, huh? Nice.
Well, I must tell you that the last time I was in the presence of a mentalist with you, mm-hmm. You were the person who was doing the guessing as well.
Yeah.
I didn't take part. And I honestly thought that he told you before.
Yeah.
And when I did ask you, I said to you, did he tell you before what to say? And you said, no, of course not.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't quite believe you. And then today was a surprise being pulled in on it.
Yeah.
And my hands are literally still sweating. I can't believe it.
No, it's so again, because there are going to be people who say, oh, well, you guys, I think Sanele's joking here, but he says, you guys are in on this.
Yeah.
You discussed the details during the 7 a.m. bloody sellouts. I promise you there's nothing. And again, to me, the really, really valuable thing here is that whole believe, act as if it's true, and then it will happen thing, which really Dr. Hanan started talking about before we even had Larry on. And we haven't spoken to Larry. I haven't spoken to him in ages. I couldn't remember if I'd met him or not before. He tells me we were at an event together. Honestly, it must have been years ago. So I think this is amazing.
Serendipity.
Yeah. Yeah. Well done. Well done, Larry. Well done, everybody else. And have an awesome day, everybody. Have a terrific Monday. We will see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. bright and early. Thanks, Ass. Have a happy day.
Bye.
Bye-bye. CliffCentral.com.